This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu. Together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, we talk a lot about new technologies, especially on things that can identify you, biometrics kind of things, like, you know, maybe your fingerprint and using iris scanner. Now there's a new way of identifying who you are, and that is your heartbeat. And apparently, its unique cardiac signature can be used to tell us apart, and they also could be tell apart from a distance. And everyone's heart is different. So this has intrigued the U.S. Special Forces and other long-range biometric techniques. Yeah, I know. U.S. Special Forces.
Yeah, I was going to say the U.S. Special Forces are interested in keeping people's hearts going.
Yes. Well, they're interested in knowing who you are, and they decided to...
When they decide whether to keep your heart going. Yeah.
So currently, other long-range biometric techniques include gait analysis, which identifies someone by the way they walk.
Which is something we talked about last week. Yeah.
So that method was supposedly used to identify, you know, terrorists before like a drone strike or something like that. But you know, things like this are like faces. It's not necessarily distinctive, and an individual's cardiac signature on the other end is unique, and it remains constant, and it cannot be altered or disguised. So you can't fake your heartbeat. So this new device is developed by Pentagon, of course, after the U.S. Special Forces requested for it. And it can identify people without seeing their faces. And instead, it detects their unique cardiac signature with an infrared laser that can apparently work up to about 200 meters. They say longer distance could be possible with a better laser. So maybe in the future, you could identify someone from space. They're not ruling that out. It's called the Jetson, which I guess, I'm guessing the device looks like one of those Jetsons ray guns, but I'm...
Or they just wanted to give it a friendly name because it's the most terrifying technology that's ever been invented.
It uses a technique known as a laser vibrometry to detect the surface movement that's caused by the heartbeat. And it actually can go through clothing except for your winter jackets.
I mean, honestly, this is a bit like calling a nuclear missile Arthur and saying, "Hey, Arthur's coming for a visit today."
So it may sound strange, but it's actually cardiac signatures are already being used for security identification. A Canadian company called Nime, they've developed a wrist-worn pulse sensor as an alternative to fingerprint identification. In the UK, the Halifax Building Society is also trialing technology like this. And the Jetson's approach is by adapting, you know, an off-the-shelf device that is usually used to check the vibrations from a distance in a structure like wind turbine. So they're using that to, you know, use it for in for your heartbeat instead. And it works. It apparently takes about 30 seconds, although you have to be standing still and not moving at all. You just have to be there for 30 seconds before it identifies, you are Matt Armitage, so please walk in.
I mean, I can see how that might not work so well for US Special Forces if the target has to sit
still
for 30 seconds. You know, your window of opportunity is usually a little bit smaller than that. But you know how, like, previous biometric technologies, how they've been used in kind of popular culture? So when we've had iris scanning, when we've had fingerprint technology, so you have the person cutting off the thumb removing the eye. Can you imagine what they're going to do now? Like taking the heart out and linking it up to a battery and like holding it up to get entrance into a door or something? I mean,
jokes, it is scary.
Jokes aside, this is possibly the most frightening use of technology that we've kind of come across when it comes to this kind of thing, especially that idea that potentially one day they could use it from space, because you know, we know how narrow the focus of a laser is, so you could easily target that one person. And also, you know, let's face it, when we talk about hitting someone with a space laser, there's kind of other things that you can attach to that. So once you've identified the person, then what are you going to do next?
Even right now, well, don't don't talk about space, but right now they can identify someone from 200 meters. 200 meters is still a distance.
I mean, it's still a distance, but when you look at the weapons that, say, US Special Forces have, which I think one of their sniper rifles has a range of over a kilometer, an effective range of over a kilometer. So it's still got a ways to catch up with that, but that it's still... Not a good development for us, to be honest. Yeah.
And they have about 95% accuracy under good conditions. The one glaring limitation is just that there is a limited database of cardiac signatures. So, you know, unlike fingerprints that, you know, it's almost everywhere now. You can't escape from it. Cardiac signatures are still unique to yourself and you still probably own it.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, that's one of the things, right? Because now pretty much every parent goes for, you know, when they're pregnant, they go for scans and you detect the fetal heartbeat. So is your fetal heartbeat going to be the same? Can somebody actually harvest your signature even before you're born? And now, in the next 30 seconds, Jeff is going to list every positive use of this technology.
I'm just waiting for a Black Mirror episode on this because this is clearly one of those kind of, you know, too sci-fi, for us to fathom what's going to happen in the future, because surveillance is the only thing that I'm looking for. Like, you know, this is a possible use for surveillance in a bad way.
Combination surveillance death ray. And, and of course, because you can link it to a database, it could be fully automated.
Anyways, we'll be right back with two King of Culture. We'll give very brief mention of this to King of Culture and also another sort of AI. Talking about AI, we've got this is a good use of AI in the future. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks with me, Jeff Sandhu, and Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, King of Culture. We have another podcast, do we?
We do. We have featured 99% Invisible a few times on the show. In fact, we mentioned it in this week's MSP. Mm-hmm. You have to bear with me on this one.
All right.
Because this is actually one of the most fascinating podcasts that I have listened to in a long time, and it's all about sand. And
I know,
yeah, exactly. That was my reaction as well when they said that this is about sand. But it's not just about sand, it's about the crucial role that sand plays in our world. We are currently standing on sand, not in the sense of the ground below us, but because of the pivotal role it plays in making concrete. Mm. Our world is literally built on sand, and sand is a resource that we're running out
Never
of.
Never thought of it that way, no, but you're
because,
right.
Yeah, because sand is the type of sand we use for building is only found in kind of riverbeds and those kind of water sources. The kind of sand you find in deserts is no use because it's too finely polished by the weather, so it doesn't act as a bonding agent. So it is an absolutely fascinating book. And in fact, I think one of the future MSP episodes will be on the story of concrete specifically. And so sand plays a huge role in that. So check this out. This is 99% Invisible, their current episode this week. It's called Built on Sand. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts.
You do sometimes wonder, what does Matt Armitage get on the weekends? Does he sit in his cave and wonder about, let me think about sand today?
No, but that's the thing. Even for me, when they said, today we're talking about sand, I was like, okay, should I go to the next one? And then the guy starts to, and because Roman Mars actually says, you know, no, hold on. You know, this is a fascinating topic. And it is. It is one of the most fascinating podcasts that I've listened to in a long time. I haven't been so fascinated by a podcast since a podcast series that I listened to about shipping containers, which also sounds as though it's fundamentally dull, but is absolutely fascinating.
The only reason why I believe you here is because Roman Mars says that, you know, you got to listen to this.
I know, I don't have a good reputation for these things, but do check it out.
Mine is a little bit more fun, I guess, compared to listening to sand, although go and check that out. Mine is an app that you can download on
Okay, I'm going to challenge you, Jeff. You listen to the podcast this week.
You will do that.
And you come back next week and you tell me if it's not the most fascinating podcast you've listened to.
All right, that's a challenge. Speaking of apps and stuff earlier on, Stranger Things 3, have you watched any of the episodes?
Yeah, I have. I mean, that was nearly going to be the King of Culture this week, but, you know, it's kind of a bit
the
too
sand
obvious.
Was a better story. All right, I'm just pulling your leg.
I'm going to walk out of the studio in a minute.
I do believe you. So Microsoft, they're celebrating Stranger Things Season 3 in a true Windows 1.0 style by releasing a Windows 1.11 app that you can download from the Windows Store. And it includes nostalgic apps like Paint, Write, and also the original Windows CMT prompt. And if you know, many of you probably don't even know what this is. But, you know, it's actually just more like a game to accompany the latest Stranger Things season. So there are various glitches thanks to the upside down world. And there's also a mini 8-bit game that you can find clues and Easter eggs about the show. And if you're a fan of Stranger Things, you should really go and check it out. Very cool stuff. It only works for a Windows machine at the moment.
I was
hoping for an app, like on the phone.
Yeah, that was the first thing I looked for as well. Because I really want to check this app. I'm a Mac-only operation. Yeah.
But yeah, so check it out. I've not seen season 3 of Stranger Things, but I am a big fan of Stranger Things. And, you know, actually Stranger Things was also one of the reasons why the Walkman suddenly, you know, became a popular thing
a couple of years ago. The whole kind of 80s culture revival, for sure.
Let's move on to our final story. We've spoken about deepfakes and, you know, we've talked about what good use could deepfakes actually bring to the society. Well, you know what? Technology Review, which is a King of Culture recommendation, I think a few weeks ago.
Last week, probably
responded to our claims that there is no good use of deepfakes. They came out with an article showing that, hey, there may be a new way to use AI behind deepfakes, and it could actually improve cancer diagnosis. So deep learning algorithms, they are excellent at the pattern matching in images. So they're trained right now to detect different types of cancer in CT scans, differentiate diseases in MRIs, identify abnormalities in X-rays. But because of privacy concerns, researchers don't have enough training data. And this is where GAN, which is the Generative Adversarial Networks, they come into play, because they can synthesize more medical images that are indistinguishable from the real ones, effectively just multiplying different data sets to the necessary quantity that they need. There is a challenge because they need high computational power to do this kind of deepfakes data. But there's a new research came out from the Institute of Medical Informatics at the University of Lübeck that they proposed a new approach that they can do this with the same kind of cost expenditure and also low computational resources, that they can produce highly realistic high-res 2D and 3D images. So this could be a big thing in hospitals.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting because, you know, cancer cells are themselves basically deep fakes.
Yeah.
You know, they're corruptions of the cell.
They pretend to be a normal cell for so long.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just interesting. Like you said, we were searching for good uses of this deep fake technology. And this is a very kind of interesting area. And it kind of goes back to what we've been saying on both MSP and Geeks for quite a while now, that, you know, when you look at consumer electronics, it's not a very exciting area currently.
Yeah, no.
When you look at the advances in medical technology, you know, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've plateaued when it comes to things that will blow your mind in the consumer space over the past few years. But in the medical space, it's growing. Even in food as well. I think just recently, Impossible Burger released the fishless meat burger. So it's a fish burger with no fish in it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I think the industrial farming of insects as well. All kinds of things.
Cool stuff happening outside of the consumer
sphere, yes.
And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. In China, digital or e-wallet technology has transformed the way people use money. Unlike cryptocurrencies, e-wallets allow you to use existing currency in a more flexible way. From snacks at stalls to taxis to buskers, e-wallets make it easy and convenient to pay for goods and services, transfer cash to loved ones, and tip talented street performers. As long as your smartphone is with you, you're equipped to deal with the world. Scanning a QR code to pay for Chapfan may look simple, but it relies on a complex web of interconnected systems, robust mobile and cable networks, coupled with state-of-the-art cloud services and security. Enabling Malaysia's digital nation aspiration with TM1's hyper-connected ecosystem. Made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute. Matt, what do we have for Geek Tunes?
Well, we're sticking with that 80s theme of Stranger Things and also with that theme of the Walkman from MSP earlier today. This is one of the songs that I played to death on my Walkman. It's not actually my favorite track on the album. It's the only one that fits into the kind of length that we have for radio.
Yeah.
This is Killing Joke. This is a track that is called, of course, 80s.
BFM 89.9.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.